Crawford.
Okay. You're listening to Potential Cast Season 2, Episode 19, I Only Have Eyes for You. Sunnydale High School is haunted by the ghosts of a former student and teacher who reenact their tragic romance through the bodies of the school's current inhabitants.
No wop do wop.
My name is Steph.
My name is at Mims515.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And do I get to introduce myself or do you guys introduce me?
You don't listen to this show.
You don't listen to us?
Yes, I do, but I don't remember.
Ah. So what do you think happens?
I thought you guys usually introduce the guests.
I think we started that, but then...
I listened to you guys today. I listened to, what was it? The last one. Look, I listened while I was at work.
Killed
so
by
obviously
death.
Killed by death.
And Brian said, my name is Brian.
Okay. My name is Desiree. And it's about time you guys have me on the show.
Desiree.
Hey.
I'm awesome. I should have been on here earlier.
Well, you know, we've been booked.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't. It was like halfway through season one before you started putting people on there, and by then, you know, I just the first one I really, you know, thought of that I liked was this one, and it's late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you like this episode best of them all?
No. It's just, I was reading, okay, I finished watching like a year ago, so I'm like, oh, I don't remember every episode, I don't know episode titles, so I'm scrolling through the episode guide on like IMDb, reading the little tiny blurbs they have, saying, oh, I don't remember if I like that one, I don't remember if I like that one, then I saw this one, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that one, I like that one. So that's all I remember. The later seasons, I've seen the episodes more than once, so I know them better.
Cool.
I really like this one because it's a typical ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a twist. It has the Buffy twist to it.
Yeah.
I was watching this episode and I was kind of, oh, okay, Monster of the Week, it's a ghost. Da, 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 da. Holy crap, that was awesome!
Yeah.
It was like, all of a sudden, there was this Joss Whedon reach around and it was the most amazing thing ever!
Exactly!
I was not expecting that at all. And when it happened, when it started to happen, I was like, oh, no. And then when it happened, it was so much. It was very good.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. It was very good. I was surprised at how good this was. I thought it was going to be a filler. And it turned out to be, I think, epic. I think it turned out to be epic. I think it turned out to be I think it's my favorite scene between them, apart from Innocence, when he's being an asshole and just mocking her about sleeping together, it was awesome. I really think it was awesome because I thought the parallels were cool. I thought it fit, and I thought that he's very sneaky, Joss Whedon. You know, it's like these conversations being reenacted, and I didn't see it coming at all, and it was great. I thought it was great.
Well, talking about that scene, Joss Whedon said in an interview with TV Guide that he got the idea for an Angel spinoff during the scene where David Boreanaz portrayed Angelus, who was possessed by an evil spirit. That's when he said he can carry his own show.
Hmm.
What'd you think, Gabby?
It was good.
No. Speak your mind.
Well,
Okay, don't hold back.
I don't know. No, it was... It was good. I don't know. I kept getting taken out by certain things. Like, I got taken out by Deadwood Guy.
Yeah. See, I didn't recognize Deadwood Guy, so I'm all good.
But, I mean, not that I didn't like the episode. I did. Now, the other scene at the very, very end had me going, holy shit!
Yeah.
That is what I liked. I love that. I did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for when he was going to, because he's not going to be in that wheelchair forever. That would be really lame. All eight seasons, Spike, he graduates from a wheelchair to a mobility scooter, and that's it. That's his character.
Oh, he doesn't get a Segway?
He's basically at the slot machines all day with his little card. Was cool. That was cool. I mean, I must say, were you put off by Ghost Gun?
Yes.
I must say, I think that's probably...
You're supposed to be, right, Steph?
Well, I don't know what...
Guns with Joss Whedon and guns and, his whole thing.
Yeah, he doesn't like guns, and guns don't fit in this world. But what took me out, what I didn't like the first couple of times was, when Xander's accosted by his locker or the snakes. The snakes in the
cafeteria. On a plate.
That freaked me out.
Yeah, but then
I realized, it's Poltergeist. It's like it's like the maggots in Poltergeist or whatever. Which was
spoiler alert.
It was, I know. I screamed out, spoiler alert, Cordelia. I haven't seen Poltergeist yet.
The whole the Principal Snyder apparently acknowledging that he said not the Hellmouth, on a Hellmouth.
On a Hellmouth.
Yes.
We're on the Hellmouth. And there's all this, and the city council said you could do this job. He's not a principal. Mm-mm. He's some like Craigslist exorcist. and he got this job to cure Sunnydale. I bet you all the adults are all in on it, and they're trying to keep everything all quiet from the kids, and it's not the kids keeping things quiet from the adults. That's my theory.
Like the village?
The what? The what? Was that a M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong film?
Yes.
The one that I saw the trailer and I knew exactly how it was going to end, so I never bothered watching it?
Yeah.
I was waiting for the twist in The Last Airbender. It never came. Oh, it's that he's racist.
So I think I discovered why Principal Snyder hates Buffy so much.
Why?
In the scene when they were standing there in his office talking, he's 2 inches shorter than her. He has
Napoleon complex.
Yes.
Short man syndrome.
Yes, you can tell he does have short man syndrome.
He did come up with a brilliant new excuse.
Yes.
I know. Sewer backed up.
Yeah. So now we have gangs on PCP, gas leak?
Scavenger hunt.
Sewer line. Scavenger hunt.
That's still my favorite. That was a really fun scavenger hunt, everyone.
I still like gas leak.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that I wouldn't go as far as saying it was epic, but I do think that the first half, I was like, oh, here we go again.
I agree with you entirely. I agree with you entirely.
But the scene between Angelus and Buffy, I'd say that's obviously one of the best of the entire show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I was rolling my eyes. I was laughing when I shouldn't have been. And I was like, this is not a good episode. But then, like you said, everything was twisted on its head. Mm-hmm. So.
I think the whole first 2/3 of the episode was basically, a ruse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You've seen a couple filler episodes. This is just a little filler episode. There's nothing to see here. Just a filler episode. And all of a sudden, dun, dun, dun. The hand comes around.
But what is great is Angelus and Buffy haven't had a very intimate scene in a while. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we've forgotten why it's so important that we know that Buffy needs to kill Angelus, but we've forgotten that it would really be tragic if Angel were to die. And it's a reminder as we're heading to the end of the season of how is this going to be resolved? How is Buffy going to get rid of Angelus and get Angel back?
Uh-huh.
Or is Buffy going to kill Angelus and Angel is dead and gone forever, the love of her life?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She basically killed him like James killed the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She
killed Angel. But, so, I like that, though, that the role reversal, that Buffy was mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. boy, and Angel was the teacher.
I like that, too, but what I didn't like is that leading up to it, it was too on the nose when, like, the whole gang was in the library talking about, when they're sort of picking sides, if they agreed with the student or the teacher, and mm-hmm. every word Buffy was saying was about her, and it was mm-hmm. like, we get it, mm-hmm. you know.
Don't steal my quote.
I won't. The girl's got some issues she needs to work out.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about her. It's always all about her.
Well, let's get into feedback before we get. Discussing it too much.
All right.
Okay.
Kelsey Campbell, who I'll try not to name Cassie Campbell, famed Team Canada female hockey player. Kelsey writes, "Love you guys. Glad to see your interest is peaking. Illyrio, your comments about innocence and Joyce's reactions to Buffy were awesome. I've never thought about it that way before, but as you'll all soon learn, or are learning, there was a lot going on in the series than just a basic high school drama nightmares, especially if you think or look at Joss's work as a whole. There are issues, themes, teased in Season 1 in Buffy that don't get dealt with fully until Dollhouse. Below are spoilers. This is feedback for I Only Have Eyes for You. For Steph's eyes only until the gags have seen this episode. Do not continue reading unless you have seen I Only Have Eyes for You. Listeners, take notes. This is how you prevent spoilers. Hey, gags and featured guest, that's you, Des.
That's me, yay!
I just finished listening to a podcast on innocence and am excited for you all to get to my favorite episode of this season, I Only Have Eyes for You. Since I watched the series out of order and was far too spoiled on all major points, Surprise and Innocence don't really blow me away. It's the episodes mm-hmm. like I Only Have Eyes for You and Lie to Me and other later episodes that play with narrative and flip the world we are accustomed to on its head that really appeal to me. This is definitely one that gains importance after watching the series or even just this season. I really hope that you enjoy this episode as much as I do. A few quick notes. One, isn't it odd, interesting, awesome that in order to deal with their relationship and the events in Surprise and Innocence, Buffy and Angel us swap gender roles? No other living couple reverses the gender roles of the ghosts the way B and A do. Number two, it's the series and Willow's first big dramatic magical spell. Uh-huh. David Boreanaz, this is number three. Number three, David Boreanaz does a fantastic acting job in this episode. This is when Joss realized that he needed his own show. And number four, poor Giles. Kelsey from Cali confidentially knows this communication with his contents may contain confidential and illegally. Oh, no, that's not actually her writing that. All right. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank
very much.
Yeah, I really felt for Giles in this episode. Oh, he wanted it to be.
He so wanted to be Jenny.
Aww.
But there was a point where I really thought I heard her voice, like he heard her voice. I think it was her.
No, I don't think so.
Could have been.
Maybe. Maybe we'll find out later.
Afterwards.
But holy.
Because I know that Angel also said, I need you. That's what Lord Buffyan.
Hmm. Holy floor sucking vortex. That was crazy. That was crazy. And Cordelia's face getting all messed up?
That was awesome.
Am I the only one creeped out by dark public bathrooms like that. that's totally creepy in Nightmare on Elm Street.
I had flashbacks when Xander was sitting cross-legged on the table with the candle in his hand.
That was awesome.
Hi, Gax and special guest. I wanted to write you to let you know how much I enjoy your podcast every week. Thank you. I have been a Buffy fan from almost the beginning and love hearing your take on the episodes. It reminds me of all the theories my friends and I used to have and what fun that was. I also love the songs that Lirio picks for the end of each episode. I literally laugh out loud at some of them. I am old enough to know most of the songs, but it would be a cool addition to have a guide to your podcast music for those of us who would like to download them and revel in the nostalgia. I'm sure you know that music in Buffy has always been an important element of the show. You've already heard how I'll remember you in the episode Angel as to the tension in the scene. You will experience this even more when music almost becomes another character in the show, adding emotional depth to certain scenes, specifically at the end of this season and beyond. Thanks for the entertainment.
Yes.
And keep up the good work, Ginger. P.S. Yes. I agree with Illyrio. Darn that Janna from the Kardashian Gypsy Clan. Thank you, Ginger.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ginger.
Yeah.
It's an Illyrio love fest.
Yeah.
How convenient for me. You know, it's really difficult registering all these extra emails, you know?
Got it. Here's one from Shelley. Who wants to read this one?
You do.
Okay. Hi, Gax, and very special guest of the week. So here, as we approach the end of season 2 Roller Coaster Ride, because of its sodding dips and surprising and alarming peaks, we have this absolute gem of an episode. It's beautifully constructed and old and unfolds gracefully unlike any other episode. The story progresses and all the characters develop within the context of what first seems to be a simple ghost story. I love the way the music becomes an integral part of the story, and this, along with the fabulous cinematography, creates just the right atmosphere. For me, the real genius lies in the parallel stories of the long-lost lovers and how the dialogue so aptly applies to Buffy and Angel, brilliantly switching the genders in order to tell their story. It's so heartbreaking to see Buffy coming out of the spell, trying desperately to believe that Angel is Angel once again. For an instant, Angelus felt that detested spark of humanity, which he so All this, plus the bonus surprise from Spike at the end,
yes!
makes one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. Keep up the giggles, Gags. I'm loving it, Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley. Oh, and Shelley, awesome picture of you with James Marsters while you're wearing your potential guest t-shirt.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, join the Facebook group. It's awesome.
I have a question. The part where Angelus was scrubbing away the humanity, did anybody else think of Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Oh, what?
Well, at least someone else did. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Illyrio.
No problem. That's what
I'll send an email about how awesome you are next week.
Yay. Or just tweet about it, you know. It's very popular. I'm going to have a lot of editing this episode.
Since we're talking about Spike,
yes,
it's no secret that I adore the Angelus Spike and Drusilla triangle. Like, seriously, when their scene came up, I actually sat up and leaned in towards the screen because I love them so much. And I even wrote, I even tweeted, when the hell is Spike getting out of this wheelchair? And if I had waited half an hour longer, I would have seen that he stood up at the end, and I was like, oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I know that there has to be... I was talking to Bob on Twitter, and I was like, okay, when are we going to see a flashback? I have to know the backstory of these people because it is just driving me nuts. And so I cannot wait. And it better be coming up soon because I'm losing patience. But anyway.
As someone who had a Buffy binge last week, it comes up pretty soon.
What? You watched ahead?
Mm-hmm. Only one episode.
Did all of you watch ahead?
No.
Oh,
no. Illyrio did and admitted it.
I've watched well, after Go Fish, I felt like, damn it, I deserve something. And so instead of, you know, eating chips, I decided that I would watch Becoming Part One.
Okay, so the very next episode there's a flashback.
And I did. And I stopped there. So then I had to go have some ice cream. Because, it's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. But back on track.
The finales are epic. I mean, every season. Ugh, it's just so good.
So I have another question. Can a ghost possess a demon? Because that got me.
That was weird, wasn't it?
And why did he bleed like that? Anyways, but yeah, obviously a ghost can possess a demon then.
I guess so, in this world, in this universe.
It happened.
One of those sodding moments.
Because I was tricked. I thought for a brief second Angel was back. At the end of that kiss, and I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Very sad.
Poor Jenny. All she would have had to do was make out with him to bring him back. She was going to go through all that travel and got her neck stabbed. The stupid Thessalon orb. But all it takes is a little necking. No. Angelus was pissed.
Yeah. He felt violated, he said. Totally rattled.
Yeah.
It was. He's so so evil, and not much rattles him. So it was weird to see that.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
But his moments with Drew taunting Spike.
Yeah.
Spike.
Oh, hello.
Yes. I love Spike. I can't stand Angel. Angel. I hate the brooding good guy vampire. He's so annoying. But Spike is so much better than Angel. But Angelus is the best of them all. Mm-hmm. He is badass.
So when's this school gonna get a new computer science teacher, really?
Willow's doing fine.
They got Willow.
But she has other classes she has to attend. Exactly.
And you know, it's the end of school probably coming up, so they're probably not in a big hurry.
And they're saving lots of money. Mm-hmm. Well, not that much money.
Well, let me read the rest of. I made Missy stay up late tonight or today, and send us some facts. The scene when Ghost Grace and James take over Angel and Buffy's bodies was filmed first, with Meredith Salinger and Christopher Gorham playing Grace and James. This was so the film could be watched and mimicked by Sarah Michelle Gellar and David Boreanaz when it came their turn to film it.
Ooh, that's cool.
That's like human rotoscoping. Nice.
Meredith Salinger's name is misspelled in the opening credits. It reads Meredith Salinger with an I instead of an E. The title is from the 1934 song of the same title by composer Harry Warren and lyricist Al Dubin. In 1955, James plays I Only Have Eyes for You, but it's actually the Flamingos version, which is released in 1959.
S.O.P.
This series is fourth in Joss Whedon's list of his top 10 favorite episodes, according to his personal letter included in the Australian Chosen Collection box set. However, really? The episodes on this top 10 list are not ranked, but rather put in order of which episodes aired first. So that does not mean that this is his fourth favorite episode. It's just the fourth episode in air date order.
Really?
This episode originally aired with a public service announcement at the end regarding teen suicide, co-sponsored by Cedars-Sinai Medical Center's Teen Line and the American Association of Suicidology. The PSA was voiced over by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Worst PhD ever.
Remember the days when there was a PSA after every show? Yeah, back in the 90s.
Christopher Gorham later went on to star on Jake 2.0, a show ran by David Greenwalt for fall 2003.
It's so funny you just said that about the PSAs, because I wrote in my notes, I'm like, they've touched on every, like, theme of that era, and I was like, okay, when are they going to have the racist episode, or like, and then like, when are they going to have the episode where the kid gets pregnant? When are they going to have the episode when someone gets AIDS? When are they, you know, like, all of the big things that were happening at that time.
Just wait, because they're only on season 2. Yeah. They've got lots of time to cover all those issues. All will be covered, all will be PSA'd.
Nice. Nice. But at the very beginning, when the kid pulled the gun out, like in the very opening scene, I admit I laughed hysterically because it was so ridiculous. But I understand it. And at the end, I was wondering if, well, I knew that he was going to get there in time, but if Sarah Michelle Gellar is actually going to off herself. But
I mean, she does heal quickly, but
I don't think she'd heal from that. Yeah, but yeah, it had to be they had to break the cycle somehow, and
but the better way to do it with someone who's already dead.
Good thing they could reverse those roles. Good thing they fit perfectly, because if she was the one who got shot, it wouldn't go as well.
No.
How convenient.
So Buffy is, because she's sad, that's how James, he could relate to her, and that's why he chose her.
She's full of regret. Yeah. She blames herself.
Yes.
She blames herself. She's sitting in her house, and Cordy's eating chips, and then she's like, he doesn't deserve it because he did this and he did that. She doesn't forgive herself for killing Angel. She thinks you know, her boyfriend's God. She killed him. There's this ridiculous demon vampire now, and it's all her fault. So, you know, she's projecting, I think. But I think it's more of a self-flagellating regret more than anything.
Also, you know, he no longer loves her. Angelus doesn't love her.
Yeah.
And so, like James, you know, you can't stop loving someone, you know.
You don't just wake up one morning day and stop loving somebody.
Stop loving somebody. Yeah, which is what happened exactly to her.
I am heartburned. I mean, I lost my soul.
She was the perfect candidate.
Yeah. Why do I have splendid charge wrote down here?
I don't know.
Splendid. Okay. All right. I thought it was so funny. She says, you went all OJ.
Yeah, I'm your girlfriend.
And like that same day, I was watching an Angel episode, and they talked about, Johnny Cochran. Somebody going Johnny Cochran. I thought that was so funny.
Well, it was very current. I remember being in university when we found out the verdict.
Yes, I remember too. I think
they played it on the PA system at our school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got involved.
I was in my
He didn't
car.
Use a gun.
No.
So he didn't really go OJ on anybody. He went stereotypical abuser on her. But I guess it doesn't play as well. Never mind. Really? You got to shoot her because she dumped you? Maybe have an original thought, why don't you?
Yeah, so Willow's checking out sites about paganism and magic.
I think maybe it's lending some credence to your theory, Gabby. She had a spell, and she made that thing. Oh, I forgot what it was called.
What, they smell like sulfur?
Spatula.
Scapula.
What, so we can wait till the ghost is golden brown and flip him over?
What is it? Like, why do we smell like old grandpa or something?
Grandpa's breath. It's like his dad, his grandpa eats sulfur.
And then Giles was like impressed, like, hey.
No. That's very good.
No, good call.
And she found that quartz necklace for Giles. So he would feel. She found a quartz necklace but couldn't find a floppy disk.
It's right there.
The cleaning staff at that school.
But those necklaces she gave the gang to wear, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was to protect them from anything,
I guess
it didn't
really work very well.
Yeah, it didn't work well.
She got sucked into a vortex.
She got possessed. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Well, she said that she made them kind of. I can't remember exactly what she said, but she's like, I kind of put it together. I had to use sulfur. Like, she wasn't going exactly by the recipe.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll accept that.
And you got to cook it by the book.
So, okay, you know, when the poltergeist, you know, when... Xander got accosted by his locker and the snakes on the trays and everything.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on his motherfucking trays.
So Giles, the first thing he thought was that it was Jeannie trying to communicate with him.
Very awkwardly.
It made no sense at all.
Random.
But his grief is causing him to behave differently than what he's been how he used. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he's usually the wisdom, you know, the rational voice. Not in this case, though.
And what was this about Giles? He says, usually I encourage you
to challenge me. But of course, not in this case where I'm very clearly right and you're very clearly wrong.
Oh, he was being narrow-minded
very
and determined.
Much so. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had blinders on.
Yeah,
Jenny
yeah.
blinders.
He was so desperate to believe that she was back.
Man, I still feel really bad for him.
Should have been.
Yeah, I know exactly. There's still a lot of unresolved sexual tension, and she's dead.
He'll be okay. He'll go on to become king and have a son named Arthur. And he'll be just fine.
I thought he was going to become an alien transvestite. And
yeah, I don't know about that
one. He's
going
to be headmaster at a school, and Sarah Jane Smith and K-9 and the doctor were going to come.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, bad. Bad Giles.
Bad Giles.
Was he just your head in an episode of Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, I forgot about that.
He was the headmaster of the school that was melting the kids and feeding them to each other.
But the gargoyle people, bat people thingies.
When was this?
That was in season 2.
It was a Martha.
Yeah, series
episode.
2.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a Big Tooth Girl episode?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was a Martha
Rose
episode.
Was in it.
No. Big Tooth Girl? No, because I've seen
it. Mickey are in it. Because Rose is the
lunch
lady.
Oh, yeah, Mickey's in it. I miss Mickey.
Wow. How did I miss this? Okay.
I think it's because the last time you watched it was before you watched Buffy.
Probably so.
Wow.
He would have just been the Taster's Choice man to me at that.
Indeed.
Well, I watched this episode 2 days ago, and I kind of forgot a bunch of stuff that I'm remembering now that we're talking about it. I'm like, oh, I did like this episode better than I thought I did.
I thought it was very good. Points? Any more points?
Okay, so let's talk about now when the police came because of the snakes. And now, what did Snyder and the police chiefs, what did they say to each other?
Snyder was like, listen, we got to keep a wrap on this. The cop was like, listen, you're not doing what you said you're going to do. The city council's counting on you to do something and take care of this. You said you could take care of this. And I'm inferring that the city council hired Snyder to basically try to figure out what's going on, why this town is like the center of mystical convergence, and put a stop to it.
And, well, they know it's a hellmouth, and apparently more people know what's going on
than meets the eye.
He thought, yeah. Plus, he said, "Don't make me call the mayor."
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, that's for you.
Yes.
Plus, like, who else would take a job after knowing the previous principal was eaten by a bunch of students?
Oh, Principal Flutie.
It has to be someone on the inside.
Aww.
Yeah. But,
You'd think that if Snyder... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, but you'd think that if Principal Snyder is around to kind of chill things out in the Hellmouth, you'd think that he'd not be giving Buffy such an incredibly hard time.
That plays to my point. I think he blames her. I think he thinks that she's the root of all these problems. And if he could just get rid of her, everything would just calm down. You know
how
men are.
It works.
They get fixated on one idea, and they don't listen to your criticism. They think their dead girlfriend's talking
or
to them.
Or maybe he's on the bad side and wants her out of there so all the demons can take over.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
No.
He's not cool enough to hang out with the cool kids.
He doesn't know she's a Slayer, but she's just always around when things happen. So, yeah, you can see where he would blame her, kind of.
Yeah, but I think what's going on there is there's a cover-up. But like I said earlier, I think all the adults are aware of the issues, and they just don't want the kids to know anything, and their kids know, basically fighting stuff, and they don't want to tell adults about anything. And it's
I wouldn't say all the adults. Joyce is oblivious.
And I think it's all going to turn out into a giant like episode of Family Matters or Three's Company or... You know.
They'll have a PSA at the end.
There you go.
And evil and,
if Stefan shows up.
Stefan Urkel?
Stefan Urkel.
Who? Stefan who?
Urkel's alter ego guy.
You ever watch Family Matters with Steve Urkel?
He was very small.
Oh, no.
Oh, that show is so bad. In this little car. And how the hell that dad was a cop in any police force is beyond me. The unions must be amazing to have someone with a BMI of 14,000 be a cop. Anyway,
back in the day, once you were in, you were okay.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though. These days,
oh yeah, they'll kick you out.
Yeah, around here they will.
Good.
I have no idea. Drew is going to sleep in the ground.
Oh yeah,
naked like the animals.
I like
that. In burrow.
But you get your dress all dirty.
Yeah, all there.
He's like, oh, she's really annoying. And now this guy's hitting on her in front of me, and she's just loving it. What am I doing with her? That is what's going through Spike's mind.
That's why I want to know what the hell is happening with those two. It's like, I don't even think that he even likes Drusilla. He just wants her because Angelus wants her.
Trophy Drew? The Real Housewives of Sunnydale, starring Drew.
Drew's like the honorable mention. Thanks for showing up and playing Trophy.
I don't know. I don't even think at this point I can't spit it out. He doesn't even like her. He doesn't even care. He's just over it. And I'm like, something's going to happen. He seems way too over it. And it did.
He does seem way over it.
Well, he's plotting something because he stood up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He kicked that wheelchair. I hope he didn't break it. Like, are you going to just now stand up the whole time? Are you going to pretend to be in a wheelchair still? What's going on?
He should pretend to be in a wheelchair for a while. I don't remember what happened, so I'm not spoiling. But he should pretend to be in a wheelchair for a while and, you know.
He should milk it as long as he can.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden just jump and jealous.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean the other way.
Mud wrestling.
I'm going to say, everywhere. Like Torchwood?
Like Torchwood?
Yes, totally.
Oh, I'm sure there's fanfic about it.
Yeah, what's Drew with just, I guess she's just loves the attention. Or she's too insane to know that she... I guess maybe because she's evil, too, because she's an evil vampire. She doesn't mind being evil to Spike. Because I guess I thought they were, you know, like boyfriend-girlfriend. But I guess they're not so much boyfriend-girlfriend. Because, yeah,
I
don't
know. I would have figured they were monogamous.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then, isn't the whole thing, like, don't they really have, but they're not supposed to have feelings of, like, love and whatnot, because isn't that what Angelus is all pissed off about?
Yeah, remember the judge said, you guys reek of humanity, you have jealousy and lust. Sorry. And Spike is like, don't forget to put you back together, listen.
when a person is turned into a vampire, their qualities are amplified.
Okay.
Like Drew, when she was alive, she was clairvoyant and everything.
And crazy.
And crazy. And now that she's a vampire. Pardon? Do what?
I said, but is she a little bit sick as well?
I don't think so. No, that was later. That was the rat in Prague.
Yeah, I think that was the plot device to get them onto the show.
Yeah. But when she was human, she was crazy and clairvoyant and everything. And now that she's a vampire, she's super crazy and super clairvoyant.
So Angel was really a bad guy, and then Angel, now he's a super evil Angelus.
I don't know if it was so much he was a bad guy. It just took his not so great qualities that he had and amplified them, and then so was, no emotion.
So was Angel, like, turned right when something traumatic happened to him, where he, like, hates the world, and then all of a sudden, like, lost his whole family, and then he became a vampire, and now he's just evil?
You should keep watching the show and find out.
We'll find out. I will be revealed.
Eventually. Sometime before the end of season 7.
I wasn't expecting a yes or no. So,
so Willow got sucked to the floor when they were trying to do the spell to...
and then her and Giles tumbling down the stairs.
Gillo, hello!
There were legs spread everywhere.
But Giles, Jeannie would never do this. Yeah. Jeannie would never. What did she say?
It's too mean.
Jeannie wouldn't be this mean.
Jeannie wouldn't be this mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giles needs a new girlfriend now.
Yeah, Joyce.
Oh, God.
What did you say, Fez?
Scarred for life. What? I just said, oh, God, Buffy would be scarred for life if Giles got together.
I hope they don't have a moment of weakness or anything.
As long as he doesn't call her little lady, I think he'll be okay with it.
Make mini pizzas.
I beg to differ.
Oh, Ted. All right. Quotes? Or do we have to rank it first?
I think we rank it. We talk about how people could reach us. And by reach us, I mean a heap praise upon me. And then we give our quotes. And then
what about Bra Watch?
Oh!
I definitely saw one, especially right at the very beginning. What the hell was that outfit? See through
pants.
Oh no no no! Well, oh. But there was like it was like gold lamé overload. Yes. Buffy wearing those crazy pants, and then the singer in the band had like the red see through top with the black bra. And the gold lamé bottom part.
I think I figured it out.
The guitarist had a hairy sweater.
And the guy that was hitting on Buffy had a shiny shirt.
I know. Weird shirt.
By the way, I think I figured out. I think the name of that band is Lotion.
Lotion?
Lotion?
Mm-hmm. Because they keep saying these posters for Lotion at the Bronze. I think that's the name of the band. Because I think I saw Lotion on the drum head.
Maybe
on the bass drum.
It's a really dry climate.
What a terrible, terrible name for a band.
I know. Awful.
I like the song, though.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know. It was, I couldn't focus. It was all the shiny gold everywhere.
Yeah, that was some bad fashion at the Bronze.
Oh, it was bad.
This whole episode.
Oh, and Willow is her. Oh, it's getting worse. Her
sweater.
It's getting worse.
Her smiley face backpack came back again.
Nice.
When I see her on How I Met Your Mother, I just think, oh, she's so pretty, and her hair looks fixed in a fashionable way, and she's always wearing fashionable clothes, and it's so hard to compare, not to compare her to Willow. She's come a long way.
Some of the sweaters are so fuzzy, it's like she's wearing a teddy bear.
So let's rate it. Desiree?
Oh, I get to go first?
Of course.
Oh, goody. Let's see. I'm going to say... I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 naked Drews in the ground.
Kim.
Don't we all want to see that?
No, I won't say that. I'll give it 7.5 phantom gunshots out of 10.
Nice. Stephanie.
I don't have a rating system. I give it 8.5. What were those? What's the thing that Jenny, that Willow found in Jenny's
rose quartz?
Rose quartz. Out of 10. That was terrible, but that was uninspired.
Gabby.
Let's see. I wasn't as crazy about this episode as everybody else. I liked it the first time I saw it, and the second time I saw it, I liked it less, but there was the Bronze, so we all know that adds a point.
Minimum 1 point.
Minimum 1 point. But I'm going to give it 6 pathetic little no-life vegans out of 10.
Nice.
Is there any other kind?
I'm giving this episode 8 out of 10 surprise Joss Whedon reach arounds.
Is there any other kind?
If you want to tell us what you think, please feel free to contact us. You can call us 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. You can go to the website, www.potentialcast.com, where you can see show notes and click a direct download link. You can also subscribe via that webpage. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't yet subscribed. Also, you can join the fun at the Facebook group. Do a search for Potential Cast, all one word, on Facebook. Group page will pop up. Ask to join. Keep it spoiler free, and we'd love to have you. As of right now, today, we have 150 members.
Yeah.
We're kicking Media Junkyard's butt. So,
how many do they have?
Less.
Oh, well, all right.
Less. They have like 120-something, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but oh my God, you know what? I was crying today looking at, because you know, the Photoshop with Jaden Willow Smith.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They are doing some pretty funny things. I liked my Indiana Jones one.
Oh, that was good.
That was nice and subtle. Yeah, join the Facebook group. It's a lot of fun. Keep it spoiler-free. People are posting pictures and videos. Someone posted a video of a blooper from this episode where the scene where Angel is supposed to walk up behind Buffy and said, I guess wasps don't have a taste for vampire flesh. He made a boo-boo and said, wops. So he's evil and casually racist. Someone posted a link to a fan-made trailer for season one. And they've apparently made trailers for all the seasons, for each season. Yeah. And we're supposed to watch each trailer after we're done each season. And I watched the... Did everyone here watch the trailer for season one that this guy put together?
No, I didn't.
No, not
yet.
Go
to the Facebook group, click on that video. It's fantastic.
It makes season one look epic.
It really does. It looks... very talented. Very talented. Very talented.
Yeah. Very professional. I mean, like... the best trailers you've ever seen. Yeah.
Again, we welcome all feedback. Keep it civil. And we really enjoy hearing from you. So send us what you think about episodes and such. You don't like using the phone, you could always send us the voicemail that you record as an attachment. Quotes?
Something weird is going on. Isn't that our school motto?
Very good.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Sorry.
Well, go ahead, Kim. Use your backup before someone else steals it.
No, I know what yours is, right?
What? No.
Isn't it? Okay, over-identify much?
Excellent. Oh, that's the second one.
That was one of mine.
Ooh. I only have one more.
Go, Des, go.
Okay. We'll find you a nice toddler.
We'll find you a nice toddler. Yeah. I keep kind of going into a Dobby impression. We'll find you a nice toddler, Harry Potter. Gabby?
That's the hotspot where all the bad mojo is coming from.
You make that sound sexy, Gabby.
Thank you.
I had a couple, but my favorite is still, oh, you're kidding. He's so dreamy. From the 1950s flashback. Wap, wap. Desiree?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. Where can we hear you?
Well, you know, one of your co-hosts there, Stephanie, and I do a podcast together about TV.
Stephanie's two-timing us?
She's like quadruple time. She has so many podcasts. She doesn't even know what's going on half the time.
I know the past couple of weeks I was on Hellmouth podcast. I was on Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land.
She's the new Robin.
Yeah, you're giving him a run for his money. Well, actually, no, that's impossible. No one could do that.
No. No. You can find us on, it's What's On with Steph and Des, and we're at whatsonwithstephanddes.blogspot.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks so much for letting me come on the show, finally. It took a while. My nemesis was on before me. My child was on before me. Everybody and their brother was on before me. But I finally made it here. I have arrived.
Awesome. Your nemesis?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
My nemesis.
Michael David, from New Jersey.
I shake my fist at him.
Yes. Now, Des, I'm glad you're here because you... myself and Steph are going to be at Comic-Con this year.
Woo-hoo!
And it's going to be a good time. And I think that we're most likely going to be having a potential cast meetup at Comic-Con. And I love Steph's idea of a karaoke bar.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to organize something. We're going to organize something. We're going to tell you listeners exactly what all the details are. And if you are going to be in the area and you want to come and hang out and say hi and sing out a tune or listen to us sing out a tune, it'll be a fun, fun time. So as soon as we have more details, we'll let you know.
Awesome.
Yay.
Hope I don't get spoiled by anyone's song.
Are you going to live stream it on Ustream?
I'm probably going to try Ustream.
Seriously? I thought you were being sarcastic. Terrible.
No, I think it would be awesome.
I'm not singing then, damn it.
I think after a couple of Pineapple Expresses, you'll sing.
You're right. Those things are good.
They're fantastic. Spoiler alert. All right. What's our homework for next week, Steph?
Next week is go fish.
What's wrong? Is that not good?
What?
No?
I don't like it.
You didn't like it? Well, we'll find out next week. what we thought about it. Bye, everybody.
Great SOD. Bye. There we go. Bye.
Are the stars out tonight? I can't tell if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for
countdown.
Okay,
from
Desiree.
Five.
Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Thanks.
Can you hear me?
Because I wasn't recording the last
me?
Time I did that.
Can you hear me?
This would have been a disaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, more so of a disaster. So, Stephanie, did you hear the episode I released yesterday?
No, I hadn't yet.
So apparently my choice of music was, apparently I'm like pre-spoiling myself on ending music because I chose Behind Blue Eyes.
Behind Blue Eyes.
That's
yes.
funny.
Yes. Oh my God, you're going to love this.
Oh my God.
I think only dogs can hear her now.
Shake dreams from your hair, my pretty child, my sweet one. Choose the day and choose the sign of your day, the day's divinity. First thing you see. A vast, radiant beach and a cool, jeweled moon. Couples naked race down by its quiet side. And we laugh like soft, mad children, smug in the woolly cotton brains of infancy. The music and voices are all around us. Enter again the sweet forest. Enter the hot dream. Come with us. Everything is broken up and dances. Indians scattered on dawn's highway bleeding, ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.